Welcome back to Delta Talk. Delta Talk, brought to you by the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Mississippi Delta. I'm your host, David Dallas, and today we are talking, or this morning we're talking with Dr. Roderick Givens. Dr. Givens, thank you. And I do want to talk, I want to go into a little bit of the politics of the Medicaid expansion plan. But the real issue, I think we need to understand, what are the pros and cons from a healthcare perspective and financially? What would Medicaid expansion mean to a Delta area hospital like Greenwood-LaFleur?
Well, I actually asked that question of our CFO back in June when, after the MSMA was looking at, well, what are the benefits? Mm-hmm. And so the answer that I received was that it would have a potential impact of between $2 and $2.5 million, depending on enrollment in this area. So that's an estimate, which would be significant shot in the arm, right? Because essentially these are individuals that the hospital is caring for, but they have no coverage.
Yeah, I read that Mississippi hospitals take care of about $600 million worth of health care for uninsured individuals every year.
That would be about right. I mean, throughout the state.
But I would imagine it would be even higher here where the poverty, where you've got the health issues that you mentioned, and you've got the poverty issue that we have
exactly
here, that our hospitals would probably be
and so that's a part of that bill. Because here's the thing. Anybody who's insured, the hospital bills the insurance for it, Medicare, Medicaid, Blue Cross, and so forth. Mm-hmm. For somebody who comes through the emergency room or comes through the doors and is cared for, who has no insurance coverage, that's a free ride. And so we can send a bill, but the same person who can't afford insurance can't afford a $6,000 hospital bill either. And so they may be getting billed, but we might get $100 a month or so forth. And so that is something that
we pay for.
You know, unfortunately, the county doesn't subsidize the hospital, neither does the city. And so it's an entity that's jointly owned by the city and the county, but essentially we care for the residents regardless of their ability to pay.
Right. When the Mississippi State Medical Association group of physicians are talking about this, and this is, I mean, what are they saying to each other? And it seems to me that really the MSMA just sort of came up with this plan to, okay, we're going to have to push our legislature to do something now. Or has it taken this long?
No, great question. Mm-hmm. And if you asked this exact same question 2 or 3 years ago, the state MSMA said thumbs down on Medicaid expansion.
You just wouldn't do it.
Just wouldn't do it. It shows the political climate. Mm-hmm. Now, a couple of reasons were, you know, there were some challenges, you know, Supreme Court and so forth. Mm-hmm. And so with the latest challenge, essentially Obamacare or Affordable Care Act is here to stay.
Yeah.
And so prior to that, one of the concerns was, well, we jump into this program and then it's found to be not unlawful, but that Supreme Court says, hey, this thing can be disbanded. Mm-hmm. Now you've got over 200,000 people enrolled in Medicaid who now the state's got to absorb those costs. And so one of the hesitancies was that we didn't want to get into something
that might fall apart. Right.
And so once the Supreme Court said, hey, Affordable Care Act is here to stay, deal with it. Mm-hmm. Then the next question is, okay, there's money setting aside. All you've got to do is accept it. And you've got it. Now, essentially, it's like a 90-10. And so,
not in terms of percentage. I want to make sure people understand this, too, because everybody uses the term unfunded mandate.
Right.
Okay. The feds are going to push this on us, and then we're going to wind up having to spend this much money. What is it that we're going to have to spend, and what do we get?
Right. Well, let me break it down for a real simple example.
Okay.
Suppose you got a couple of children in your house, and they're working, but they're not able to get out on their own yet. Mm-hmm. They say, well, why not? Well, Dad, because my rent is too expensive. I can't afford an apartment. Yeah. Well, you say, well, how much is the apartment? It's going to be $1,000 a month. So essentially what the federal government is saying, son, we'll give you $900 towards your rent, and I'll give you $100. Now
the son gives $100.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, Dad, you paid $900. Son, you pay $100 toward your rent. Get out.
Okay. And in this case, the son would be the state of Mississippi.
That's
and
right.
The dad would be
That's
Uncle
right.
Sam.
Right, Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
Right. And so if you said, as a father, I'm trying to get this kid out of the house. I'm going to pay $900 of his rent, and all he's got to do is pay $100.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to leave because it's only going to cost him $100 to get out of the house and be in an apartment. It's
That's
kind of the same.
And I'm curious because right. it does also. I also read that this new American Rescue Plan that they rolled out, there's actually extra money for those 12 remaining states
right.
that have still refused to.
You are well read okay. because that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, talk
well,
about that.
So two parts of that. Now, there's the state economist, actually, Corey Miller, actually put out a little 20-page report.
And this is the economist for the state of Mississippi.
For the state, right, that showed that there's a way to make up for that 10% of that $100 that
the kid has to pay.
That has to pay mm-hmm. Through, you know, increased gross domestic product by additional tax revenues that are generated, as well as 11,000 jobs that are created as a result.
And then the other thing is that the hospital is not eating costs.
That's right. That's right.
So there's got to be a savings there that's going to make it easier for the hospital. The hospital can give raises to people potentially. There's other
right.
things the hospital could do to...
Right, right. In addition, right, as an incentive, the federal government said we're going to give for the, I think, first 3 years for new states that opt in an additional 5%. Mm-hmm. And so instead of, you know, that 10% gap is really a 5% gap mm-hmm. from a cash infusion standpoint. But on the back end, when you add in the additional revenues generated off of that, say, $800 million, you more than make up. So basically the math mm-hmm. works out. Is still, it's an uphill political climb to essentially get folks to say, yes, we'll do it.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. Because really, it seems like now that y'all are pushing for it, that there are going to be a lot more legislators who actually listen. Because your group, I mean, in all honesty, right. you're wealthy physicians from throughout the state.
I'm and not so, sure.
Well, you might not be wealthy. I'm not talking about
that's
you.
That's a relative
But
term.
I'm just talking about
but
in general,
do,
but you carry a lot of weight. And so there are going to be a lot of politicians who are going to say, well, if these guys are behind it right. now, they haven't been up to this point, but now they are.
Yeah. Politics is crazy.
Right.
Right.
It does feel that way.
It certainly
Because would, everybody uses the term, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer right. for us to take this money. And I keep hearing, you know, people on the left say that.
Right.
Whereas we just haven't done it to this point. What
right.
makes us think we're going to do it now?
Right. Yeah. Well, one of the things is some of the states that actually have, and the one that's closest and has been successful has been Arkansas. So
that's
right
what I wanted
across
to ask
the bridge.
Who's benefited? Who's done this now, and how well have they done
it? Well, the most recent, mm-hmm. and really you got to compare apples to apples. And mm-hmm. so what MSMA did is actually looked at other states that were essentially red states, southern states that have expanded. And so most recently it's been Arkansas, Louisiana, and West Virginia. Mm-hmm. So as far as the demographics, Arkansas is pretty right, similar
yeah.
size, similar location, and all of that. And so they went through using what's called a Section 1115 Medicaid waiver. Now, that's a big complicated legislative process, but basically one of two ways to enact it would be either the state just simply says, hey, we're going to accept the money and here are the rules, or the state could actually just go to Medicare and say, hey, look, we want to apply with a Section 1115 waiver. It's a process that says, hey, we want to expand Medicaid and so forth.
So the
under
state
the different,
would do a right. sort of a different format of expanding Medicaid
right.
on their own.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So there's two ways to do it. But either, but there's ins and outs. You know, insurance mm-hmm. commissioners, governor's got to sign off. You know,
yeah.
politics, you know, either way. However, Arkansas has successfully expanded their coverage for uninsured. They've reaped the economic benefits. Basically, everything that the state economist, you know, reports and his projections pretty much mirror what's been the experience in Arkansas. So you really are comparing apples to apples. And so when you say, look, the guys right across the river
are doing well with
it. Mm-hmm. Why shouldn't we?
Now, I read, and I don't know if this is true or if you've been able to do this, but I heard that there were like several sessions with the Legislative Medicaid Committee
right.
that you guys were going to speak in front of and talk to.
Right.
Have you done that yet, and how have those gone?
We've done that. There was actually a task force, and so mm-hmm. we actually spoke with Delbert Hoseman on one of the conference calls, Medicaid Director Drew Snyder, Insurance Commissioner Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
So it was just, you know, one-on-one.
Mike Cheney.
I'm sorry, Mike Cheney. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. You know, so asking you know, specific questions about what their feelings were and so mm-hmm. forth. And so
what was their feedback?
A little mixed. Delbert Hoseman actually said, look, show the numbers and how they work. Mm-hmm. And you know what? He at least had a, you know, favorable ear as well as, you know, the insurance commissioner. So like anything, we got to run the numbers. And so we did due diligence in that.
Yeah.
And then also bringing in the director who, you know, established the program in Arkansas, who's also, you know, involved in some of those discussions. And so it's here on the table, you know, they're looking at it. But again, politics is an odd thing.
But I do think that the fact that, like I said, your group
right.
has decided to get behind this, because I'm sure for the past 10 years there have been a lot of people that have been trying to put numbers in front of the legislators, and they're like,
right.
we're still not going to do this. But now that you're doing it,
mm-hmm.
you have to feel hopeful. However, say Delbert does put something together, and he very well could, certainly in the Senate, and they pass something. Mm-hmm. I mean, still, isn't it likely the governor is not going to sign that, with using the rhetoric that usually comes out of his
office? Right. If you look at the current rhetoric, but again, things change.
Yeah.
And so at any moment, the tide could change. I mean, look at the flag, you know,
mm-hmm.
the flag thing. And then all of a sudden you get the right people creating the right stimulus. And all of a sudden things change.
Dr. Givens, I just admire what you're trying to do. You know, and I hope it's the right thing for Mississippi. And I don't know that. I mean, everybody's kind of got opinions on it and what should work. But you do want it to work for our hospitals, particularly our hospitals here. And I'd like for you to we've got about a minute and a half left, just kind of speak to that and how important it is, this Medicaid expansion is for this area.
Well, you're talking about financial viability. And so we've got smaller hospitals, not only Greenwood LaFleur Hospital, but we've got other rural hospitals throughout the Delta,
mm-hmm.
you know, that need to survive. And every dollar counts, especially when, you know, 24/7, you know, you're working out in the yard and you cut your finger off,
mm-hmm.
you need to go to a hospital within 5 or 10 minutes. You don't want to be straddled with having to go 60 miles in an emergency, where the mom's having a stroke or a heart attack. So you've got to be able to go to your rural facility for emergency care, at least for stabilization, and then transfer it mm-hmm. to another facility. And so expansion is crucial and critical to survival of many hospitals, and it would certainly help Greenwood LaFleur in that respect.
And we've had hospital closures throughout the state.
We have.
We don't need them closing
here. We don't need them closing
here. Dr. Roderick Givens, thank you so much for being with us this morning on Delta Talk.
You've been listening to Delta Talk, a public affairs presentation of TeleSouth Communications and this station.